Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Are you having a good summer? Are you having a good summer? Have you noticed that it's been like raining periodically? It's not like we get a full rain, but we just get a little rain. And so that can be a good thing. It can be refreshing and good. Today, I had my sunroof open. I had my sunroof open because I love summer. I love the sun. Pulled into the church. Left some things in my car with my sunroof open. My laptop was in there. My Bible was in there. My notebook was in there. My seats were in there. My radio was in there. It was all in there, guys. It's all in there. And then I was in my office, just loving the Lord, loving Jesus, talking to people, encouraging people. That's what I do. I'm a pastor. And I look outside, and it's pouring rain. And you know what I thought? It's raining. That's awesome. And I didn't even think about what was in my car. Didn't even cross my mind until somebody like ran to the door and brought me my laptop, and it still works, people. It still works. My Bible is about 3 inches thicker. It literally is. So it's a little thicker. Now I will say this: that I was thinking when it was raining, aside from my sunroof open, it's kind of summer rain is something that's like super refreshing, isn't it? It's like, man, it's like, especially on a 90-something degree day, you're like, man, get a good rain. It kind of cools things off. It's really refreshing. And you know, there are things in our lives as believers that are refreshing, that can bring a refreshment into our life. That, you know, we talked earlier about God wanting to refresh some people tonight and here. But there are keys to that, and there are things that can block us from what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life and cause that refreshment that he wants to bring to us can kind of block that out. But there's a great key to being refreshed by the presence of the Lord that's just awesome. And that key is it's not rocket science, but it's all over the Bible, especially in relationship in terms of our relationship to God, and that key is thanksgiving. It's being thankful. It's a heart of gratitude. That something about thanksgiving opens us up and causes us to have just an openness in relationship, causes us to have room for more. You know, it's funny that when you kind of Thanksgiving, you think of it in terms of you're having to give something out, and you're like, man, I have to have something to give because if you're needing to receive from the Lord, you're like, man, I gotta give before I can receive. But something about Thanksgiving, you're giving what's rightfully God's, but in that, it opens you up to what God wants to do in your life, to how he wants to refresh you, that it opens you up to the goodness of God. It's really a key to being a healthy Christian. It's a key to having joy in your life. You know, Paul, when it talks about prayer, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your requests to God with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Something about that opens you up to God answering in prayer because it creates a posture and an openness in your life to what God wants to already do in your life. But if it's all about us and all we see is our us, and that's what the enemy wants to do in our lives, he wants to make it about us, then we're not open. Either because, you know, if you so watch the results of Thanksgiving are ultimately pride in a, man, if I did accomplish it on my own, then like I'm not, obviously I did it on my own, I'm not thankful. And it can be a very like obvious cocky pride. Or it can be a sense of faithlessness and broken faithlessness that doesn't honor God, because it's not God. It's not like, oh, I need your help, God, I'm broken faithlessness. But it's like, God, I don't know if you can, or I don't know if you want to, or it's just not this thankfulness because you're not recognizing who he is. So it's really a key. Now, I want you to catch a spirit in this passage we're going to read in this psalm. It's Psalm 100. Great psalm, awesome psalm. And we're going to go through a few scriptures tonight. But I think what I want you to sense in this passage is the spirit of it, that it's the tone of it, the excitement in it, and say, do I have that? Like, when I came to church tonight, was I excited to be here? Did I have an expectation for what God wants to do in my life? Because God wants to do something in your life. God wants to speak to you tonight. God wants there to be a joy in your life. God wants there to be a freshness of his presence in your life. God wants you to have a full, awesome walk with him where he's working through you and you're giving him gratitude and he's working through you and you're saying, God, only you could do that, and he's working through you. And so when you come to a problem with thanksgiving, it gives you this spirit that we see in this passage. You call it a spirit. You can call it a tone, a feeling. You know, you just feel like, man, is your heart here? And so just listen to it real quick. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. It's like you came into church skipping, all right? Like that, all right? Everybody's like, oh, man, I don't want to be that guy. You came in happy, all right? You came in buying people coffees everywhere and saying, it is good to celebrate the presence of the Lord. You came in with a song. You came in as a poet. All right, you were excited, you were pumped, you were any one of those adjectives, all right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. Man, he's on the throne, and is he who made us. Man, he made me, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good, man. He is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. You pick up on that. Pick up on that, and then say, okay, we're going to stop. We say, am I there tonight? And not to be like, if you're not there, not to be like, whoa, you blew it already, man. You're going to miss out on this prayer meeting because you came in with the wrong posture. No, we can all make a jump together, okay? So we could all be more thankful, and we're going to get thankful tonight because God wants to work in your life still tonight. You didn't miss it, all right? You didn't miss it. God has something for you tonight. He loves you, and he wants to encourage you, but how are you going to get there? And he says what? Come into his presence, into his gates with thanksgiving. And it's the access point. It opens you up to what God wants to do in your life. And so I want to just give you a few thoughts about thanksgiving, and then we're going to practice. We're going to open our hearts and say, God, we're going to start to think of things. And I want to encourage you. I was thinking as putting the message together, that it'd be cool if as you're just meditating on this, we're looking at these scriptures together, that you'd be thinking about things that you're thankful for along the way, ways God's helped you, ways God's worked in your life, and just get started even before we're going to practice, because as you're going through the message, God's going to bring things to your heart and your mind, and that's going to be great for when we're praying and thanking God, because God, you can use those. You can say, God's going to drop those things, and God, I thought of this one, I thought of this one, I thought of this one. It's going to be awesome, all right? So if you think of one, just write it down, put it in your iPhone, and then it'll be awesome. You're going to get a huge list before the end of the message. I'm speaking in the faith. Number one, thankfulness guards us from becoming faithless and negative. You know, even if you're glass half empty sometimes, I don't know, that's not a good way to say it, but maybe you're like more dollars and cents, you're like, you're practical, you know, all those things. Oftentimes that can take you to being like, man, if just looking at the situation and like, I don't know how this is going to work out. And you have to be careful, if that's your makeup, that you don't allow your makeup and your personality to move you to be negative. Because God has called us as Christians, as believers, to be faith-filled people, to be people that believe God, to people that have joy. And oftentimes, our situation on the surface doesn't necessarily always look like, wow, this is awesome. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been there? Our situation doesn't always look like, man, I know exactly how this is going to work out. Because if that's what it takes for us to be positive and have a faith-filled view of life, then we're going to really struggle. Because God's sometimes going to bring a challenge in your life, so you rely on Him and you look to Him, but you have to look to Him with thanksgiving. We can't allow our circumstance to frame our confession. We can't allow our circumstance to frame what comes out of our mouth. And oftentimes it's not, hey, I'm just going to be more positive, but the way to get there, the way to have to speak faith and to speak life is to begin to talk out of a heart of thanksgiving, to begin to recount rather than saying, this is what's happening or this is what I see, which is oftentimes what we do. You know, people come talk to you and be like, how you doing, man? And you're like, I'm doing all right. Well, what's going on in your world? Well, I got this going on and this going on and this going on. And I just, you know, it's hard right now, but we're making it. Now, it doesn't mean that those things aren't happening, but there's a different way to view it, that when you've gotten into the presence of God, when you've been in the presence of God and you've been thankful, that after being in the presence of God and recognizing everything He's done, then you can say, it looks like this. Conversation looks like, hey, how you doing, man? Oh, I'm doing good, man. God's come through for me in so many ways this week, and it's been miraculous, really, how I've watched Him answer my prayer. And, I thought you had this going on. And you're like, well, I do. That is happening right now. If God's helped me here and here, I'm sure He's going to help me there. You know what I'm saying? And so that you hear it change your confession. You hear it change what's coming out of your mouth, and what comes out of your mouth is life. And if you struggle with negativity, you struggle like speaking faith, I just want to encourage you to start to be thankful. If you struggle, maybe you gotten kind of like, it's often that time, I picture it like the vortex of negativity. Have you ever gotten the vortex of negativity and you're like, negativity, I'm drowning in it. Once you start, you can't stop. You got to stop the vortex, all right? The key is thanksgiving. And so maybe you came in here and you're like, yep, I'm negative, all right? Maybe it's today. You're like, I wasn't yesterday, but I am definitely today. Sometime I got caught in the vortex, the negative vortex. Then I want to encourage you to be thankful tonight. I was thinking about the children of Israel. You know, maybe you know the story. They God takes them out of Egypt, does all these miraculous signs. It's awesome. He's feeding them in the desert. He's got a pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And then they get to the promised land, and they send 12 spies in. And a little thanksgiving would have gone a long way to helping them have a faith-filled confession. A little thanksgiving, a little remembering of like, oh man, this is what we talked about. Like somebody comes to ask, how are you doing? They were like, actually I have it on the screen. This is what they would say. They would say, they murmured in their tents and said, because the Lord hated us, He's brought us to the land of Egypt. Okay. Are you kidding me? And if you don't know the story, you need to go read it. It's not that, all right? That was what coming out of their mouth. But that's not what was actually happening and how God was actually treating them. And that's why Thanksgiving is so important. It would have gone such a long way if they would have said, hey, how are you doing? It's like, you know, we got some big giants ahead of us, but God brought us out of like the biggest superpower in the world right now. He parted the Red Sea and He's feeding us every day. It's crazy. So I'm pretty sure a few giants are no problem for God. You know, that Thanksgiving would do a lot for them. Secondly, Thanksgiving takes your eyes off yourself and puts them on God. Put your eyes on God. It magnifies the good things of God. And Psalm 69, verse 30 says this, I will praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. Magnify to make bigger. That's what we're doing when we're praising God. It's not that God needs us to make him bigger. He's already huge. He's enthroned in the universe. But it's us going, God, open our eyes to who you are and what you're doing. Help me to see that and not my circumstance. Thanksgiving helps us do that. It helps us remember how big God is, how much he's helped us, and what he can do. And it gets our eyes off ourselves. You can't be thankful, truly thankful. You can't be truly living in thanksgiving and offering thanks to God and have your eyes on yourself. You just can't. All your focus, and you know when that's happening in your heart, all your focus is on God in that moment. All your focus is like, God, I'm just going to look at you for a second and begin to recount the good things that you've done, and I'm going to take my eyes off myself so I can put my eyes on you and magnify you. And there's such a grace with that. You know, when we talk about God wanting to refresh people tonight, Thanksgiving being a key to that, it's so nice to get your eyes off yourself and off your situation and off what you can do and off how you can figure it out. And Thanksgiving's so great for that. You know, I really think God wants to refresh people tonight. I really think, and just to say, you know, I'm just going to lay it down for a second and just begin to recount the goodness of God, how he's been good to me, recount who he is. And sometimes that's even like, you know, the grace of God. What God's done for you and opening up a way for you and to have a relationship with him. And I'm slipping into my other points, so we're going to keep going. I just want to preach this point. It reminds us of the character of God. Psalm 145 says this, the Lord is righteous in everything he does. I love this. He's filled with kindness. He's filled with kindness. Psalm 119 says, you are good and you do only good. We don't have this one for the screen, but I was thinking of James. Every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, the Father who made the stars, who doesn't change. So everything good comes down from the Father who made the stars, who's consistently good. You do only good. And Thanksgiving reminds us of the character of God. Man, God, you've been so good to me. God, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for grace. Thank you so much, God, that I don't have to convince you to be kind to me tonight. God doesn't need you to convince him to be kind. He wants to be kind to you. Thank you, God, for that. And oftentimes, we come in and we think we need to convince God to do those things, which robs us of thanksgiving, because God, that thanksgiving's what he wants, you know? So we're like, worship, you know? Like, we get our worship pose on, you know? And we're like, I'm going to pray like there's no tomorrow, and I'm going to watch God help me because I prayed for Daniel fast. And God loves when we pray for those things. God moves in response to our prayers, but it's not our prayers or our worship that makes God want to be good to us. Is that, you know, that we worship because God is good, all right? We pray because God wants to help us. We pray because God moves in response to our prayers. We don't pray so God gives us a gold star and says, now I'll help you with your situation. Talk to me about what you need. We pray because we already know he's good. Thanksgiving puts us in that posture of humility to say, God, it's not about me. It's always been about you. And God, because you are good, you're going to do something awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you that you love me. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for how you already worked this situation out already at work and how you're already going before me with my family. God, thank you, God, for this. When I prayed for this, you did this. That's awesome. But you're remembering the character, God. It reminds us of his character, that he's kind. We serve a super kind God. We serve a God who loves us, a God who gave his own son for us, a God who cares about your needs, and God who wants to work in your situation. And thankfulness opens your heart to that. It reminds you of that, and you need to be reminded of that. Because oftentimes it becomes about what we're walking through, or God, I don't know if you'll want to help me. And God, I don't know about this or that. And God says, hey, stop for a second and just remember about like the 10,000 times that I helped you in the past, all right? Just take just 1 minute and remember the 10,000 times I helped you in the past. Okay, just 1 second, and just remember the 10,000 times I helped you in the past. And it's funny how just 1 minute and you're like, oh yeah, I guess that was a bad situation. I did pray and you did help me. So I don't need to convince you to help me in this one. And I don't need to wonder if you're able, because you did help me in that one. And it's awesome about that. Number four, thankfulness causes us to remember the benefits of knowing God. Psalm 103 is an awesome psalm. We read it a lot because it's great. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sin, your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and gives you a purpose. So maybe you were in the pit and God gave you a purpose. Maybe the problem that you're facing is because you're walking in the purpose of God and there's a challenge. But don't forget, the reason you have that problem is because you're walking in his purpose, because he redeemed your life from the pit. So don't look at the problem and say, God, where are you? Look at the problem and say, God, if you help me and redeem my life from the pit, you're going to help me with this problem. God, you have a purpose for me, and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. So when we talk about God being a kind God, God's not just wanting to help you, but God wants to set you up for the great things he's going to do in your life. Believe it. It's so good, all right? God loves you, and God wants to answer your prayer, and he's setting you up for the good things he wants to do in your life. He has good things for you. And so, but it's not like, oh yeah, God has good things for me. Okay, God. Make them work out. It's God, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the good that you want to do. Thank you that you crown my life with steadfast love and mercy and satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed. You're refreshed, like we're talking about. You're refreshed. That posture, that opening up, that gratitude opens you up to the goodness of God. Number five, thankfulness gives us courage for the future. I was thinking of a story. David, who writes a lot of the Psalms, King David, awesome story. If you've never read David's story, I really want to encourage you to read it sometime. But there's a moment in his story where he makes, you know, he's just kind of making some decisions based on fear and different things. And a bad deal happens where an army comes in, just burns this city to the ground. And he has a group of guys that are warriors that he kind of runs with. And he comes back to the city where his families and their families were, and it's burned to the ground, and everybody's taken out of the city. And obviously, that's a bad deal. And the guys who are with him decide, maybe we should, because you're making some bad decisions, we should kill you and then go find our wives, which obviously puts him in a lot of stress, all right? So what's he do in that situation? I find it interesting that in that same story in Samuel, it says that David was greatly distressed, obviously, and for the people, and I'm using the King James, so spake of stoning him. They spake of stoning him. Have you ever had somebody spake of stoning you? That's never good, all right? Because the soul of the people were grieved, and every man for his sons and daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. So he begins to recount, what's it mean to encourage yourself in the Lord your God? To begin to recount, God, I'm stressed out, and God, I need help. And yes, all that's true, but I'm going to take my eyes off of those things, and I'm going to remember that you're good, and I'm going to begin to thank you for your goodness, even though people are wanting to stone me right now. I'm going to remember your goodness. I'm beginning to think of the goodness of God. I'm not going to magnify my stress. I'm going to magnify you with thanksgiving. I'm not going to focus on this right now. I'm going to focus on your goodness. Yeah. Because oftentimes we want to force God into our situation, but God says, hey, why don't you stop for a second, come over where I am by thanksgiving, see what I want to do, and you watch how I work through your situation. But that takes a surrender and a release and an opening up our heart, and that happens through Thanksgiving. So watch how David does this in Psalm 69, and then we're gonna open the altar, and it'll be awesome. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck." This is David. "I'll sink in deep mire, like I'm in the mud, God, and life is overwhelming me, and there's no foothold. I've come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I'm weary of crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim, waiting on God." But the psalm turns, the same psalm that we read earlier. And how does David refocus? What's he do? "So God, help me." Amen. And then I'm going to go about my day. No, what's he do? Where's the lift? He says this, "Oh God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving." Is it my praise that gets me God to help me? Is it my praise? Like, and I'm talking about the action of praise. I'm not talking about the posture of praise with thanksgiving. I'm talking about, is David saying, I'm going to sing and God is going to help me? No, I'm going to have a heart of praise and thanksgiving, because what's he say? It's not, "God, this pleases you more than an ox or a bull, more than a sacrifice, more than me trying to get you to help me. But God, I'm going to recognize that you're a God who wants to help people, and you're a God who wants to work in my situation, and the humble will see and be glad." That means, hey, God's going to work in your situation, and as you're thankful and you honor him and you posture yourself that way, you're going to begin to talk to people, and you're going to say, "God is going to help me because he helped me here, 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 and here." And then when he does help you, the people who need help, who are around you, are going to see it, and they're going to go, "Wow, if God helped them like that, then God can help me. God, if God wants to help them, then he can help me." Because it's not about you deserving to be helped. And maybe somebody would see that. Maybe they look at your life and they'd be like, "Man, if God can help them, surely he can help me." And that's great. That's awesome. Because you're not as awesome as you think you are. But God thinks you're awesome because of Jesus Christ. And he wants to work in your life because of Jesus Christ. And so he's going to do something great in you. And somebody's going to see it. And they're going to be like, "If God helps them, then maybe God will help me." And God's going to help them. And then somebody's going to see that. And they're going to say, "If God helps them, then maybe he'll help me." And then somebody's going to see that. And who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And that's the awesome thing about Thanksgiving, is God gets the glory. And it opens our hearts to a refreshing from God. It's not about how smart you are. It's not about how much you can figure it out. It's about how open you are to the goodness of God and saying, "God, it's all you in the first place. So I'm going to begin to thank you and recount the good things you've done in my life and open my heart to your presence."